Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, August 29th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly Lunch and Learn. This week, we read Parshat Ki Tavo. And in Parshat Ki Tavo, we have a series of brachot and klalot, of blessings and curses that are declared for either keeping God's law or not keeping God's law. And we are going to look at one specific pasuk in this section that deals with what happens we're going to actually try to figure out what happens. It's technically in the section for the blessings for fulfillment of the commandment. So the section dealing with the non-fulfillment of the commandments are at the end of chapter 27, blessings and curses. Those are sort of blessings, right? A whole series of accursed, accursed, accursed. And then on page 1074, which is the beginning of chapter 28, it says, V'haya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha, l'shmor lasot et kol mitzvotav. It shall be that if you hearken to the voice of God, to observe, to perform all of his commandments, like command you this day, u'nitancha Hashem elokecha elyon al kol goyei ha'aretz, then God will make you supreme over all the nations of the earth. Uvo alecha kol habrachot ha'ele v'sigucha ki tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha. And all of the blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you hearken to the voice of Hashem your God. And then it goes, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall be in the field, all these different brachot. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of the ground. Blessed shall be the fruit basket and your kneading bowl. Right, a series of blessings that God promises for fulfilling his commandments. And now I want to call your attention to the pasuk that we are going to focus on, which is pasuk yudalet. At the end of this entire list, which ends, right, for example, 13, unetancha Hashem l'rosh v'lo l'zanav, God shall place you as a head and not as a tail. V'hayita rak lemala v'lo tiye lemata, and you shall only be above and you shall not be below. Ki tishma el mitzvot Hashem elokecha asher anochi mitzavcha hayom l'shmor v'lasot. If you hearken to the commandments of Hashem your God that I command you today to observe and perform. And now the pasuk in question. V'lo tasur mikol hadivarim asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom yamin usmol. And you do not turn away from any of the words that I command you this day, right or left.
So what will happen?
Lalechet acharei Elohim acherim la'avdam. To follow gods of others to worship them.
We have to see what.
Well, we know all the blessings that were read before will come true. But here, so let's read the pasuk again, and I'd like to ask you as you're reading it to consider if it raises a question or if something seems to be out of place. All the blessings above will apply if v'lo tasur mikol hadivarim asher anochi mitzaveh etchem. If you do not turn away from any of the words that I command you this day, lalechet yamin u'smol, right or left, lalechet acharei Elohim acherim la'avdam, to follow foreign gods to worship them.
Saying that if you don't do the commandments, apparently if you're not doing the commandments, you're following other gods.
Ah, exactly, Eddie. There's a huge gap in the pasuk. The pasuk says, right, again, all the blessings above will apply if you don't turn away from any of the words that I command you this day, right or left, to follow gods of others to worship them. The verse is equating turning away from God with worshiping foreign gods.
So if you don't do one thing, if you don't keep kosher, you do everything.
Exactly.
Else.
Meaning, it sounds like this. It sounds like every sin is now under the category of worshiping a foreign god. I could not keep Shabbos, not keep kosher, not celebrate Sukkot. Any, you name it. We can go through a whole list of potential sin, but doesn't make a difference. V'lo tasur mikol hadrim asher nechim metzaveh etchem hayom yamin usmol lalechet acharei Elohim acherim la'avdam.
Not, but it's also kol hadvarim asher anochim metzaveh etchem.
What else is there in this pasuk?
Kol hadvarim asher anochim metzaveh etchem, like...
Right. Lalechet acharei. It doesn't say or and. It's saying you don't go lo tasur mikol hadirim asher nechim metzaveh etchem lalechet acharei Elohim acherim la'avdam. It's not saying
kol hadvarim asher anochi tziviti otchem.
Right, but the point is it doesn't
already did tziviti,
but it doesn't list, it doesn't say v'lo tasur mikol hadirim asher nechim metzaveh etchem lalechem mismol v'lalechet acharei Elohim acherim. It doesn't say v. If it was v and I would understand. Don't at all veer or turn away from any of the words that I command you this day, nor should you follow other gods. It doesn't say that. It's equating.
A little vav is missing.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference, though, the missing vav. Right? It seems to be saying, again, do not turn away from the words that I command you this day to follow God's will. Is that the only way? I mean, the question is, is that the only way to turn away from God?
Oh, obviously.
No, it's not. Not keeping Shabbos is also turning away from God, but that's not avodah zarah.
All the dvarim.
It's a misdemeanor. It's not.
Keeping Shabbos is not a misdemeanor.
Okay. That's how it looks.
It's not a misdemeanor. It's
it looks like that to you. That this is not a big thing like the other.
Also. So I mean, that's also a question. Is this? I mean, if that's true, then
but
that doesn't seem to be what we find, right? It doesn't not seem to be to find that Shabbat is a misdemeanor or Kashrut is a misdemeanor. Eating chametz on Pesach is not a misdemeanor, right? These are very serious. So what's happened? What's going on here? So what's going on here?
Just like
that's the question. What's going on here? Exactly.
You mentioned it before, right? And just like not mentioning now what good he'll grant us, because he said it before, and the other things also said before.
Right, that we know. We know the good he's going to grant us. We have a whole list before. But the question is, when the Torah talks about veering or turning away right or left, it says that is the same thing as avodah zarah. Well, how is that possible?
It's also saying,
if I, for example, don't shake a lulav and etrog on Sukkot, I'm guilty of idol worship.
Probably.
Well, how does that make sense?
No, but if you go after God, it's a general thing, so it includes everything. The main thing is really.
So basically,
lalechet bederech.
So basically, you're saying there's one sin. One sin. It's all avodah zarah. Meaning, no matter how serious it is, it's all avodah zarah. If I take a paperclip home from the office, I take a paperclip home from the office. It's like avodah zarah.
But the basic thing is really to recognize Hashem. If you recognize Hashem, you follow all what he said now, said in the past, and will say in the future.
Right. Okay, so you're saying that every sin is a function of, we'll use your term, not recognizing God.
Well, if that's the main thing.
Okay, right. And so therefore, it's like following another god. Okay, could be. That's possible.
Rabbi, does God really expect us, not just this portion, or this part you're reading, but the whole thing is saying any one thing. Does God really expect us, anybody, to be able to follow every single commandment?
Yes.
No. Because there's no single person in the world for whom every single commandment applies.
Okay, it's all the time.
First of all, some of us are women and some of us are men. So that already
But is that asking too, not asking too much of us, but do you think anybody has ever followed every commandment they're required to follow?
I don't know the answer to that question. Yes, Dove.
If it's Sukkot, and I'm out on the street, and I'm driving my car, and I haven't built a sukkah, then I'm, at this time, everybody had somebody in mind, I'm acting like the people who follow
and other guys.
Right? It looks like I'm not a Jew. All of these commands that make us Jew, in effect, makes us look like we're following other gods.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying. The paperclip from the office is a little disturbing, except that there are people who stole for a living.
Right.
In other words, all these, there's a clear sense here that we should be able, that there's, these things define us and circumscribe us as a nation, so to
right.
speak.
Right. Okay.
And that if we don't
Good.
Do them, then we look like the people who are following other gods. So I don't know if it's...
Okay. So both Shula and Dove are saying a similar idea. That any misstep, it would have to be purposeful, I would imagine, right? Anything that one does on purpose to veer or turn away from any of the words of God, right or left, as the pasuk says, yamin u'smol, right? Sort of is it's an indicator of where we are in our head, right? We're not really following God, and so. Then the next step, though, is if I'm not following my God, I must be following some other God, which Dove is saying is really just it's a national thing. You're not part of the Jewish people because you've separated yourself from their national practices. Okay. Yes.
The idea is to come as close to fulfilling everything, right? That's
yes. Yes.
Now, what he says here, "Velo tasu yamin u'smol." That means we don't give you a leeway.
Right.
Everything should be inclusive.
Right.
If not, that is already into the chet.
Right. But the question is every chet, we know Dov and Shula's approach, is every chet the
yes.
equivalent of Avodah Zarah?
He said yes.
Right. Okay.
The thing that bothers me about this approach is I don't understand what left and right means. Just scratch that out. And it says the same thing.
Right.
What's the difference between a left sin and a right sin?
Okay.
The whole thing is not
good.
Right, that's interesting.
Change.
Right,
let's say
right.
you have to measure
if you,
6 ounces,
if you
don't
it,
give me 5.9.
Well, so, lo tasu mikol hadvarim ha'ele.
Right, you're right, Dov. It would work without it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Right.
And
right.
What's a left sin and a right sin?
Well,
right.
I don't get the whole thing.
Right. So the commentaries say that Dov it means even like the diktukei hamitzvah, like the smallest detail. It's for emphasis.
Yeah.
It's the smallest, even the littlest amount.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the pasuk would.
So that would mean
would make sense.
An unnecessary chumrah would also be deviating.
I don't think so because it doesn't mean you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Meaning if. Well, it could. It might. You know, if you put in, if you take instead of on Sukkot, arbaminim,
yeah.
four species, and said you take five species, you're right. That's that addition could nullify the mitzvah. Yeah, the correct. That would be a violation of not adding to the mitzvot. Right. Exactly. Okay. That's one. So that's a very good approach. That it's really more about our national character and how we are able to define ourselves. And once we're not defining ourselves based on our mitzvot, then we're defining ourselves in another way. Now, by the way, I would say, Dov, that is a very illiberal position, right? Which I hate to tell you that, right? Right, because this is the position of Yeshayahu Leibowitz. There is one definition of what it means to be Jewish: observing the mitzvot.
Right. Okay.
That's it. It's not nationalism, it's not Zionism, it's not social justice or chesed, there's one definition of a Jew. Someone who observes mitzvot.
But the mitzvot is
so,
period.
So
it wide, it's so
not
broad.
Born a Jew.
It includes everything.
Then they convert. and then they follow the mitzvot, they're in.
But by that definition, they don't have to convert. As long as they follow the mitzvot.
Well, no, because part of the way, there's a mitzvah, there's a required methodology of how to become a Jew.
Isn't the mitzvot really cover basically everything?
To observe all the mitzvot.
Right, but we have a very different sometimes right. This could lead someone to say that all these some other manifestations of Judaism are just they're missing the boat because if you don't keep the mitzvot, you're not wearing the badge of what it means to be a Jew.
That's a religious Zionist will tell you. That working to bring about the recreation of it is a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. That it's a mitzvah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, a religious Zionist would be. I don't know. I don't think Leibowitz would. Leibowitz would say you have to keep the mitzvot. Right. And I think the most he would give is a Jewish state makes it easier to do that. Right. I think that's the most he's going to give you.
That's for sure.
He's not going to give you. There's a mitzvah to have a Jewish state. There's a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel. But to live in the land of Israel under Jewish autonomy, although there is a mitzvah of having a melech, but I'm not sure if he would say much more than the modern Zionist enterprise is just the ability to, it makes the doing the mitzvah easier. Okay, so that's one approach. It's an excellent approach. I think it makes a lot of sense. Okay. Let's look at the approach of the, there's another approach, and that is the approach of the Ramban, who sees it differently. The Ramban says as follows. Im telech, you don't have this in front of you. Im telech acharei Elohim acherim la'avdam, kfar sarta mikol mitzvotav, v'ein chefetz klal b'chol ha-mitzvot shetaseh. Meaning, if you're doing, it's the other way around.
No.
It's not that doing... It's not that one deviation means you are worshiping idols. It's that once you're worshiping idols, you have deviated already.
Yeah.
And nothing else matters. Meaning, if you're going to worship idols, I don't need your Shabbos and your Sukkot, right? That's it. You're off the reservation.
It's a one-sided.
Right? Avodah Zarah is the final, the ultimate. It's the makeh b'patish, right? It's the final hammer blow on the way. Again, im telech acharei Elohim acherim la'avdam, kfar sarta mikol mitzvotav. Then obviously, right? You've already left. Mm-hmm. You've already veered away from all of God's mitzvot. Ve'ein chafetz klal b'chol ha-mitzvot shetaseh. Right? According to the Ramban, the pasuk is dealing with someone who has already decided to follow other gods. So a person like that has already left the fold. So the way he would read the verse is, and do not turn away from any of the words that I commanded you this day, right or left, right? And what's the proof that someone has done that? To follow other, lalechet acharei Elohim acharim la'avdam. Okay? So, but again, you see the Ramban is bothered by the question that we started with. Right, there seems to be a huge gulf between diverting right or left, like taking the paperclip home from the office, and avodah zarah. So the Rambam says, yeah, there is a huge gap, and just because you've stolen a paperclip doesn't mean you're oved avodah zarah. But once you've already oved avodah zarah, then you've gone well past the paperclip problem. Right, you have much bigger problems, and that's what has to be dealt with. Nothing else is important.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Is a mitzvot means aseret dibot only?
Taryag mitzvot.
It's all
everything, the whole enchilada, or the whole nine yards, or the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, so it's broad enough. Many, this is really the best.
The whole right, the whole shoot right.
So that's what Leibowitz also.
Yeah, I think that right. Yeah, for sure.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the. So now we have Shula and Dov. Together with Yishael Leibowitz, and then we have the Ramban, and then we have the Ralbag. Actually, before we do the Ralbag, we'll do the Netziv. Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. He says as follows. Hu katzeh hasheni ha'oker et kol ha-Torah kula, right? The Netziv also notices, it's a katzeh, it's an extreme. right? Going after other gods is an extreme. The beginning of the verse is dealing with paperclips. And then it moves without any gradualism right to Avodah Zarah. He says, so that is Katzeh Hasheni. That is the extreme. Vim hayaha mikre hazeh litenai hu tamua. Me'achar shetole hatenai gam bedikduke hamitzvah. Lama zeh tole od ba'avodah zarah. If you want to say that the verse is a condition, if you want all the blessings of above, then you have to listen to all the mitzvot and not do avodah zarah. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because once you've already said all the mitzvot, you don't need to add avodah zarah. Or once you say avodah zarah, you don't have to add the other mitzvot. Mm-hmm. So it can't be that the verse is simply giving us the conditional the conditional factors that will bring the blessing. So what is it? Ella, ein hamikra l'tanai, k'moshe katavti, ella bracha v'haftacha. So the Netziv takes it a little different. This is a blessing and a promise. Asher tatzliach l'chavein et ha'emet b'titukei mitzvot. This is a promise that one will be able to understand the truth when it comes to the dikduke mitzvot, the minutia, the details of the mitzvot, ve'od tatzliach shelo liyot nifte lavodat kochavim, and you'll also promise that you will not be drawn or attracted to avodat to foreign worship. Afal gav sheyitzra rabba kiyadua, even though, and he references historical. We know this from the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, that the Yetzer Hara, the inclination of Avodah Zarah, is very strong. V'imkein have kemoshe katuv, v'lo tasur yamin usmo, v'lo tasur lalechet, and he quotes other, there are other psukim in the Torah that seem to raise the same problem. So just before you make your point, though, the Netziv here is very interesting. The Netziv is helping us differentiate between approaches to religion. There are some people who say, I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish, I feel Jewish, but I'm not into the dikduke ha-mitzvot. I'm not into the minutia of the mitzvot. I'm Jewish. I feel very Jewish. I come to shul sometimes. I'm an honest person, and my cultural identity is 100% Jewish. I do not follow other gods. There are other people who are into the dikduke mitzvot, but the national aspect of Judaism is not so is not really important to them. They're not interested, let's say, with or involved with Jews who are not exactly like them, right? They're interested in their own community, but they don't have a broad approach to what community is. The community is, let's say, their little shul and the people who are just like them. But the people who aren't like them, they're not into. And God is saying here, I'm promising you success in both arenas, right? You will have the opportunity to feel part of Am Yisrael as a whole, and feeling part of Am Yisrael as a whole seems to me to also be involved with the Jewish people as a whole, not just the people who are just like you. And you'll also be able to have success in the dikduke mitzvot, in the minutia. So this is the picture of the complete package. Yes, Dov.
Yeah, then the Tziv is, he knew history. Because it was very common in the old days, when you were conquered, when one people was conquered by another, they had to take the other people's gods. Okay, so I got another 200 gods, I don't care. So that would be it, and publicly they would worship the Greek gods and then the Roman gods and all that. But at home, mm-hmm. The goddess of the hearth and the god of the field, that was their own gods. And it didn't bother the Romans. So, in other words, and this was a known phenomenon, by the way, in Israel, too. You'd go up and do that, but when you were home, you had the Canaanite gods for the field and the goddess of the hearth and the home, right? Especially true in the north. So, what God is saying here is that won't cut it. Even if publicly and nationally you do the mitzvot and you bring your fruit to the temple, you do all this stuff, when you go home to say, well, you know, I'm going to...
Right, very good.
It. And that was that was common practice.
So public, so it's a little different than what I said. It's public and private.
Right.
Public and private. Right. Maybe you're saying that the national stuff is the public, and the Dikduke mitzvot is the Avodah Zarah part is public, and the Dikduke mitzvot is private. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's what. So he's saying it's not a Tanai. This is not a pasuk that's saying if you do this, I'll give you the above brachot. This is saying if you work hard at it, if you try, I will help you. Right? Bracha v'haftacha. It's a God. It's a blessing and a promise. Asher tatzliach lechaven et ha'emet b'dituke mitzvot ve'o tatzliach shelo liyot niftel avodachavim. So I've tried to explain a little, to sort of unpack a little bit more, to maybe to expand. I don't want to put this thought into the Netziv's words. To expand on what he's saying, that it's really talking about two approaches to Jewish life, which God promises if we want to, we could have success in both them. And I like very much what Dov said as well. So far we have three approaches to this. One, first approach is following the mitzvot is the identity card of the Jewish people, and therefore if you don't do it, it's as if you're following another god. Meaning, you may not be punished as an idol worshiper, but you've stepped outside of the national character. A second approach of the Ramban is it's telling you that once you've done avodah zarah, then obviously you've gone too far, yumin usmol, and you're off the reservation, like right? Yeah, similar to the first. That's correct. That's right. And then the Netziv is telling us that this is a promise and a blessing about our ability to fulfill both aspects of Jewish life. Okay, now we get to the Ralbag. The Ralbag is very interesting. Okay, the Ralbag says the following. He says, "V'lo tasur mikol hadivarim alecha tacharei Elohim achrim lavdam be'er ki anitiyah ktana mimitzvot haTorah tavi besof la'avod avodah zarah."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a bold claim, right? That the slightest desire or the slightest desire, tendency. The slightest tendency, right, to not keep all the mitzvot, like the paperclip, right, will ultimately bring one to avodah zarah.
More and more and more.
Right, it's, yeah. I think to me it comes across as a little harsh, I'm not sure if it's, but I mean, that's interesting, right? We all know people who are not careful, b'dikduke mitzvot, but they're not ovde avodah zarah.
Not yet.
Okay.
That's what he said.
Just wait and be patient. Right. Okay. So there's always hope.
It's the beginning of
exactly what.
Right, I mean that's it's interesting, right? That the slightest, we're concerned that this now it's very it's an interesting methodology in terms of how we approach, right? We always want to make sure we sort of believe it because we don't want to we never want to give up even on the slightest mitzvah, and we may recognize that even giving up on the slightest mitzvah may in some way lead to greater levels of greater levels of non-observance of the mitzvot. But it's interesting, right? So a person who veers even slightly to the right or the left, but is not currently serving, you know, worshiping other gods, right? Tavi basof la'avod avodazar will ultimately lead to it. Now the Ralbag is echoing a Gemara in Masechet Shabbat that says as follows: Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Chilfa Bar Igra Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Hamikra Bigadav Bichamato. If one tears their garment out of anger, Vamashber Kelav Bichamato, or one breaks a dish out of anger, Vahamifazer Meotav Bichamato, one who wastes their money in a fit of anger, Yehiyeh be'einecha ke'oved avodah zarah, should be seen, should be viewed or considered by you as one who worships foreign gods. So what's going on here? What does this Gemara mean? Right? So then the Gemara explains, shekach umanato shel yetzahara. This is the practice or the professional approach, the strategy of the yetzahara, of the evil inclination. Hayom omer lo asekach. Today, the evil inclination says, do this. Ulamachar omer lo asekach. And tomorrow, the evil inclination says, do this. Ad she omer lo avod avodah zarah v'holech v'oved. Until finally, he says, the Yetzer Hara says, worship idols, and one does. Meaning, the Yetzer Hara does not come and say first, worship idols. The Yetzer Hara first comes and says, this, a little bit, and then, right, which is it seems clear that this is what the Ralbag is echoing, this idea. I'll get them for you in 1 second. It seems that the Ralbag is echoing this Gemara very, very clearly. And again, so you don't, one does not need to accept the existence of the Yetzer Hara as an independent entity, right? That's something that not everyone could wrap their brains around, right? Because the Gemara could simply be telling us about human nature, right? This is how human nature is. First, you don't do this, or one does this type of sin.
Slippery slope.
Right, and they do another type of sin until the whole thing is out the window. So I think that's it's a very interesting approach. The Ralbag's years are 1288 to 1344. Okay. So at the end of his commentary on this, he says Hatoelat Hatishii. The Ralbag gives like a general commentary on the verses, and then. He then at the end gives a toelet. He gives these are the practical lessons we can learn from his explanation. And he says, "Hatoelet hatishii hu masho dianu shanatiya hamu'ata sheito midarchei haTorah." That even the slightest veering from the way of Torah tavi la'avod avodah zarah will ultimately lead. Meaning, that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, lo tasur mikol hadur asher anuchim, even the small, even the slightest thing. Why? Because that ultimately means, lalechet acharei Elohim acherim la'avdav. Ultimately, it means you're going to go all the way. V'zeh sha'amru, and he quotes the Pasuk, lo tasur mikol hadur asher anuchim etzaveh etchem hayom, minu small, lalechet acharei Elohim acherim la'avdav. It's a continuum. Sin is a continuum, and once one starts, there's momentum, and it's hard to stop the momentum. And one thing leads to another. Yes.
I just want to take an example. I think Begin, Nachum Begin, remember him?
Right.
He clearly knew how to follow the mitzvot because he hid as a Haredi Jew from the British for several years.
Yeah.
When Israel was declared, he was not an Orthodox Jew.
Right.
I don't think there was the slightest possibility that he was going to do Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Yeah. And the same with especially with Galeber Zionists, didn't you? Or
right.
Or Netanyahu.
Right.
There was a respect
I
for
agree.
It.
I agree. So on. I think that
you know, what's it? In those days it was in or out. Today it's not quite
so,
that way.
Right. So I agree. I think that I think we could chalk this up to rabbinic hyperbole.
Yeah.
But still it's true. Meaning, it doesn't necessarily have to go to Avodah Zarah, but the idea I think is a fair idea, and I think does stand up to a scrutiny, and that is when someone starts a process of, let's say, leading towards, let's say, someone is observant, and then they become less observant. That could snowball. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to snowball to Avodah Zarah, to conversion out of Judaism, right? But it could. Now, I think the idea is true, and sometimes the rabbis would communicate these things in a way which is hyperbolic, right? It gets your attention, and now it's gotten your attention. What does it really mean? Does it mean the person's going to convert to another religion? Are they going to start worshiping idols? Probably not. But there, we have to be careful not to allow the floodgates open. By the way, I think there's another approach we could look at this. I don't think this is what the Rabbag meant 100%, but historically it's different. Generationally, he may be right. Right, one generation is a little less observant than another generation until there's a intermarriage or a conversion out. Again, it's not a straight line, but generationally, that is a much more reasonable way to look at this thing. And the truth is, the Gemara doesn't say necessarily it happens in the same person. It happens over, it can happen over a period of time. Right, so that's also. Could be what it meant. So again, everyone seems to be concerned. All the commentaries that we saw raise this verse. How could it be that the verse goes from the slightest deviation all the way to the greatest deviation? As the Netziv says, "Hu katzeh hasheni." It's the total other pole, other extreme. So we've seen different approaches to this. It's not equating any other sin to avodah zarah, but there are ways that we've seen. To make sense of the pasuk, whether it's about national identity, or whether it's about this idea of the slippery slope, which again is a good Elul thing to think about, right? As we're getting ready for the Amim Noraim, right? To think about in our own religious life, sometimes we see this in ourselves that once we accustomed to not doing one thing, then not doing the next thing is a little bit easier, right? And this is the introduction to the Mesilat Yesharim. Right, with the classic book of Musar, who says this idea as well. We don't like to talk about the slippery slope. We think we're above it. We could stand up to it. But human nature is as human nature. I think is a very strong point here and something worth considering as we get ready for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming.
I want to tell you a story. Is that okay?
Sure.